Welcome to the Deep Dive. We sift through the sources so you don't have to, bringing you the essential insights, the surprising facts, and the compelling stories you really need. Today we're diving into one of those, well, pivotal moments in car history. You know, where one single vehicle doesn't just join the lineup, it fundamentally reshapes a legendary brand's entire future. Imagine a company, an icon really, teetering on the edge, facing a genuine crisis, and then this bold new roadster emerges as its, well, unexpected savior. Yep, for this deep dive, we are unpacking the amazing story of the first-generation Porsche Boxster. You might know it as the 986. Our mission here is simple. Extract the key insights, find the hidden gems in the story, and really understand the narrative behind this absolutely critical car. By the end, you'll get why this car literally kept a legend afloat.
Exactly, and this isn't just about, you know, specs and 0-60 times, although the Boxster certainly had appeal there. It's really a profound look at innovation under, well, immense pressure. It's a masterclass in business strategy and honestly a testament to a company fighting tooth and nail for survival. The Boxster's journey from just a concept sketch to becoming this market phenomenon, it really tells you what bold moves can achieve when absolutely everything is on the line.
Okay, so let's rewind. Early 1990s. Porsche, this powerhouse name we all know, was actually in a really tricky spot. The sources are quite clear. They were dealing with what's politely called an aging product range. I mean, think about it. Their newest clean sheet design, the 928 from 1978.
Yeah, that's ancient history in car terms.
Right. And the 968, while a good car, was basically a heavily reworked 944, which itself evolved from the 924. They weren't exactly setting the world on fire with fresh ideas. And the direct result, falling sales. Badly falling sales.
It's hard to overstate how serious it was. Porsche was genuinely struggling. This wasn't just a blip. It felt like an existential threat. The air-cooled 911, beloved as it was becoming incredibly expensive to build, complex, and frankly couldn't carry the whole company forward into a new automotive era. They needed something radical, something fresh, commercially smart, and they needed it like yesterday.
And that radical solution, as we now know, turned out to be the Boxster, the 986. It arrived in late 1996. Now, this car holds a really unique spot in Porsche's history, doesn't it? It was their first road vehicle, specifically designed as a roadster since the 914.
That's right, a pure roadster focus.
So given Porsche's usual focus, what was the thinking? Making entry-level roadster the big bet instead of just another 911? That seems like a huge gamble.
Oh, the gamble was massive. Absolutely enormous, but it was calculated. They'd done their homework. Market research showed a real hunger for a more affordable Porsche. And critically, an open-top car at that price point was missing. What's really fascinating, the key takeaway here, is how this car, this relatively affordable model, is universally credited with saving the company. That's not just hype. It's the core insight. It wasn't just another car. It was the financial lifeline. It provided the cash flow and, maybe more importantly, the strategic shift that let Porsche claw its way back and eventually boom.
It was a total change in philosophy, wasn't it? For a brand built on, you know, almost bespoke engineering.
Completely. A huge philosophical shift.
And boom, it did. The numbers show it. This car became Porsche's biggest volume seller right from its launch in 96. And it held that top spot for years, right up until the Cayenne SUV rolled out in 2003. That just shows how perfectly it landed in the market. And the name Boxster, pretty clever too.
Yeah, it's a neat blend.
Boxer, for the flat engine, which we'll definitely get into, and Speedster, nodding back to icons like the 356 Speedster. Heritage and engineering, all in one name.
A perfect fit.
So, given Porsche was in such a precarious state, how did they pull it off? How quickly did they actually get this Boxster from a mere concept drawing to rolling off production lines?
That's where the story gets really impressive, honestly. The pressure was immense. By June 1992, they'd already picked a design proposal. Harm LaGuy greenlit the concept by Grant Larson and Pinky Lai. And this wasn't just some random sketch. It deliberately drew inspiration from Porsche's greatest hits, the 356 Cabriolet, the Speedster, and of course, the legendary 550 Spider. You can really see those classic lines.
The public reaction when they first saw it.
Immediate. Overwhelmingly positive.
Right. The 1993 Detroit Auto Show. The concept car got widespread acclaim from the press and public. That must have been a huge relief, a sign they were onto something big.
Absolutely crucial validation. It gave them the confidence, the fuel to push through the intense development phase that followed.
And that development was fast, wasn't it?
Incredibly fast. The final look, the exterior design, was locked down by March 1993. But even then, you hit snags. Second half of 93, they ran into issues fitting components together properly. It actually led to them having to lengthen the hood a bit, resulting in another design freeze late that year. And to test that crucial mid-engine setup, they initially built prototypes using modified 968 bodies late in 93. The dedicated Boxster prototypes didn't even appear until 1994.
Wow, so they were testing the heart of the car in a different body first.
Exactly. Then pilot production started late 95, and full series production kicked off mid-96. For a completely new platform and engine, that's remarkably quick. Testament to their focus.
Okay, this brings us to something really interesting, a key strategic move. Porsche, this icon of German engineering, actually consulted with
Toyota. Yes. It sounds unlikely, but it's true, and absolutely pivotal.
And this led them to embrace a totally new approach for Porsche, widely sharing parts between models and slashing costs. I mean, for a company known for unique engineering, wasn't that a massive culture shock? A huge leap of faith?
Monumental is the word, absolutely. Think about it. Porsche, known for its almost artisanal approach, suddenly looking at mass production efficiency, shared components. It was a complete rethinking. It wasn't just about saving money, though that was critical. It was about fundamentally changing how Porsche built cars, but crucially, without losing that core Porsche feel, that Porscheness.
That really is the aha moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Learning from Toyota, a mass market giant, to ensure the survival of a luxury niche sports car brand.
Precisely. And you see the evidence everywhere in the car. The Boxster openly shares a surprising number of parts with the 911, specifically the 909 sixth generation, which was developed alongside it.
Like what specifically?
We're talking major components. The bonnet, the front fenders, the headlights, those controversial fried egg headlights started here, a lot of the interior components, dashboard switches, and even the basic engine architecture. Wow.
This sharing wasn't just incidental. It was fundamental to making the Boxster financially viable. It kept the price accessible enough to generate the sales volume Porsche desperately needed.
And where were they actually building these?
Good question. Production was split. Some were built in Stuttgart, Germany, in the old 928 facility. But due to the high demand, many were also built under contract by Velmet Automotive over in Yusikapunki, Finland.
Interesting. How can you tell?
It's in the VIN, actually, the 11th digit. Espoons means Stuttgart. U means Yusikapunki, Finland. A little bit of Porsche trivia for you.
Okay, so Porsche had the design, the cost-saving strategy. But what about the heart of the car? What was this engineering marvel under the engine cover that gave it that famous handling?
Right, the engine. It was the M96, a water-cooled, horizontally opposed six-cylinder, a flat six or boxer engine in Porsche tradition. Now, that flat design isn't just, you know, a technical footnote. It's absolutely key to the Boxster's handling prowess. Because the cylinders lie flat, the whole engine package is shorter vertically,
allowing it to sit low on it in the car. Exactly. It lowers the center of gravity significantly, which is fundamental for great handling dynamics.
And this M96 engine itself, that was a really big deal for Porsche, wasn't it? A major step.
Oh, hugely significant.
Yeah.
The M96 was Porsche's first water-cooled engine that wasn't in the front of the car. Remember the 928, 944, 968? Those were front-engine, water-cooled. But for their core, rear, or mid-engine cars, this was the moment they moved away from the air-cooled tradition that had defined the 911 for decades. It was a massive engineering leap. A signal of the future.
And it set the stage for the 996 generation 911 too, which shared its basic design.
Precisely. A clear sign Porsche was willing to evolve, to innovate, even on its most sacred cows, like air cooling.
And putting that flat water-cooled engine midship in the Boxster, not in the rear like a 911, that gave huge benefits for the driver, right?
Absolutely. That mid-engine layout is why the Boxster became legendary for its handling almost overnight. It provides a low center of gravity, as we said, but also near-perfect weight distribution, almost 50-50 front to rear, and incredibly neutral handling.
Meaning it doesn't tend to understeer or oversteer excessively.
Exactly. It just feels incredibly balanced, agile, responsive. It's why people still rave about the 986's driving dynamics. It wasn't just quick. It was a joy to actually drive.
And the engine itself evolved over the 986's life.
It did. The base model started with a 2.5-liter flat six. That was from 96 through 99. Then for the 2000 model year, the base engine got bumped up to 2.7 liters, and that ran until the end in 2004. And also for 2000, they introduced the Boxster S. The S brought a bigger, more powerful 3.2-liter engine, also available through 2004.
giving buyers a step up in performance.
Right. And it's worth remembering these were all essentially low displacement versions of the 3.4-liter flat six found in the 996 Carrera, again, highlighting that smart parts sharing strategy between the two model lines.
Now, no car launch is perfect, especially with such new tech. And the early M96 engines, while revolutionary, did run into some teething problems.
That's true. You can't develop such a radically new engine under that kind of pressure and cost constraint without hitting some bumps. The sources mention specific failures, most notably things like cracked or slipped cylinder liners, and also a spate of porous engine blocks.
Porous blocks? What exactly does that mean?
Imagine the metal casting process not being perfectly uniform. You could get tiny microscopic channels or imperfections forming within the aluminum block itself. Almost like a sponge, but on a tiny scale.
And the problem with that is?
Well, if those pores connect the coolant channels and the oil channels, you get coolant mixing with oil or vice versa. Not good. A serious issue.
Okay, that sounds bad. So how did Porsche handle this? This is where their engineering response gets interesting.
It really does. Instead of just writing off entire engine blocks, which would have been incredibly expensive, they came up with a repair procedure. The sources say they decided to proactively repair faulty engines by boring out the cast sleeves on the cylinders where defects were noted in production and inserting new sleeves.
So they machined out the faulty part of the cylinder wall and fitted a new solid liner.
Essentially, yes. It was a clever, resource-conscious fix. It showed a commitment to quality and, frankly, to not throwing away expensive components if they could be reliably repaired. It speaks volumes about their engineering approach.
And that spirit of refinement continued, right? They didn't just launch the car and leave it. There was a facelift later on.
Yes, in 2002. A relatively minor facelift, but it addressed some early feedback and just generally tidied things up, both visually and functionally, showed they were listening and learning.
What were the key changes in that facelift? I remember the rear window was a big one for owners.
Absolutely. The original plastic rear window, which could get cloudy or creased, was replaced by a smaller but crucially heated glass window. A massive improvement for usability, especially in colder climates.
Game changer for practicality and visually.
Subtle but noticeable things. Up front, those infamous amber fried egg indicators in the headlights were replaced with cleaner, clear units. Gave it a more modern look. The bumpers front and rear were slightly reshaped, made a bit sharper, a more defined, chiseled appearance, is how the sources put it, and new wheel designs became available.
Inside, too. I seem to remember a much-requested addition.
Yes. Finally, a proper glove compartment. Owners have been asking for that. Plus, an updated steering wheel design and a new electromechanical release for the front trunk and rear engine cover, replacing the old cable pulls.
Little quality of life improvements.
Exactly. And beyond the visuals and conveniences, there were some mechanical tweaks, too. Reworked exhaust pipes and air intakes. And then for 2003, they actually squeezed a bit more power out of both engines. The 2.7-liter went up to 225 PS. That's about 222 horsepower for us. And the 3.2-liter S model climbed to 258 PS, around 254 horsepower. Just keeping things fresh.
And then, right at the end of the 986 generation's run, Porsche did something really special. A kind of celebratory farewell model.
They did indeed. Introduced for the 2004 model year, this was the 550 Spider Boxster S Special Edition.
Just the name sounds cool.
Yeah.
Very evocative.
Right. It was a direct, deliberate homage to the legendary 550 Spider race car, specifically nodding to 1953, the year the original Spider was introduced. A lovely connection to Porsche's racing soul.
It was properly exclusive, wasn't it? Not just a badge and some paint.
Definitely exclusive. Production was strictly limited to just 1,953 cars worldwide. That number, 1953, directly mirroring the year they were celebrating.
Wow, that's not many. How many came to the U.S.?
Only 500 of those were allocated to the U.S. market. So yeah, if you see one today, you're looking at a genuinely rare Porsche.
So what made it stand out beyond the rarity? What were the special features?
Quite a few unique touches. First, the color. They were all painted in GT Silver Metallic. This wasn't just any silver. It was the same paint code used on the Carrera GT supercar concept. Very special.
Nice link to their halo car. What about inside?
The standard interior was this unique cocoa brown full leather, really rich looking, though you could opt for a gray natural leather at no extra cost. It also had special interior trim paintwork, and a high-end Bose sound system fitted as standard. Outside, it had distinctive two-tone gray and silver 18-inch Carrera wheels, though you could get them unpainted as an option. And functionally, it came with 5mm wheel spacers at each corner, giving it a slightly wider stance.
And performance bits.
Yes, it included the Boxster S Sport exhaust system for a better sound, and crucially, the M030 Sports suspension package.
Which was Porsche's factory performance suspension setup. Stiffer springs, damper.
Exactly. Gave it a sharper, more focused handling feel compared to the standard Boxster S. More track ready, you could say. And to really seal the deal on its exclusivity, each car had a numbered plaque on the center console showing its unique production number out of that 1,953 total.
A proper collector's item from day one. That 550 Spider Edition really sounds like the perfect way to cap off the 986's incredible run, a fitting tribute.
It truly was a great final flourish for a car that had achieved so much.
So let's just step back and recap this amazing journey of the 986 Boxster. It's quite a story. From being the car that quite literally pulled Porsche back from the financial brink through its genuinely innovative, water-cooled, mid-engine design, its clever, maybe even revolutionary for Porsche cost-saving through parts sharing with the 911, to its constant refinement, addressing early issues, the facelift improvements, and then culminating in those unique celebratory special editions like the 550. It's a remarkable tale of resilience and smart thinking.
It really is. It's easy now, looking back, to see the Boxster as this obvious success, but you have to remember the context of the early 90s. This car wasn't just a safe bet. It felt like a Hail Mary pass for Porsche.
A gamble that paid off spectacularly.
Absolutely. And the 986 wasn't just a successful model in isolation. It really served as the blueprint, the foundation for modern Porsche. It proved that innovative design, smart engineering decisions like embracing water cooling and strategic parts sharing and really understanding the market could not only revive a struggling brand, but set it on a completely new and incredibly successful path forward. Its impact is still felt today.
So here's a thought to leave you with. When you look at the Porsche lineup now, you know, the current 17 Boxster and Cayman, the evergreen 911s, even the SUVs like the Macan and Cayenne, how much of that original 986 Boxster spirit do you think remains? Its design philosophy, its crucial strategic role in broadening the brand's appeal, its focus on delivering accessible, truly engaging performance. How much of that DNA is still influencing Porsche today?
That's a great question to ponder. And if you want to explore further, maybe look into the 996 generation 911 that ran alongside the Boxster. Seeing just how deep that part sharing went is fascinating. Or maybe dive into the history of the original 550 Spider. Understanding that car's significance really adds another layer of appreciation for what Porsche did with that final 986 special edition. Lots more to uncover there.